I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That's the irresponsibility that has completely devastated our country, Kristen, put us in such a dangerous position. I don't think people realized when Joe Biden was in the White House exactly how he was allowing our country to be infiltrated with people that we didn't know who they were. Okay. Some of them we did know were dangerous, and we went after as soon as they came into this country. But under this program, we could have up to 100,000 people that came in from Afghanistan that may be here to do us harm. Okay. And President Trump is absolutely dedicated to getting them out of our country.
These young men and women in the Guard, they want to help our country. They want to be here. They are patriots. Yet they will not be attacked by a radical Islamic terrorist who screams by reports, Ali Akbar, before shooting two of our Guard members and almost killing more.
You couldn't have said it better, could you? The tragedy that happened going into the Thanksgiving weekend, two National Guard members shot while patrolling the streets of D.C., just a block or so from the White House, one of them a young woman who was killed because they were assigned to try to bring law and order to our streets in dealing with the illegals attacking. Not just illegals, but American citizens attacking ICE and police for trying to enforce deportation laws. They were not actively doing anything at that point. They weren't trying to arrest anyone. There was no fracas of any type. But a gunman stepped forward using a revolver and opened fire. He shot and killed on the spot a young National Guard woman. She is a troop. We don't make a difference in the sense of being male or female, but her name's Sarah Beckstrom. And then another young male National Guard member was shot. Let me share one statement for you. One statement. The father of Sarah Beckstrom said, my 20 years old, he said, my baby girl has passed to glory. I praise him for his faith. I certainly accept that as well, but it never should have happened. And when I heard that, it took a lot of the joy on a Thanksgiving, knowing how it was going to affect that family and all the others, and put fear out, which is what the shooter wanted to do. He was led into this country during the Afghan migration. We brought 100,000 Afghans into the U.S. We were told, and I told you then, they are not being properly vetted. We knew they were not being properly vetted. Why? Well, for one thing, there was no way to properly vet them in many cases. Secondly, just because they had worked with our troops does not mean they were actually good workers and benefiting our troops. We don't know how many Afghans were embedded in the midst of our troops, in this case the CIA, to supposedly go against the Taliban when in fact maybe they were supporting the Taliban. There is no doubt hundreds of thousands were. And we'd promised those who helped our troops while we were in country, if we move out, we will take you with us to protect you and your family because we know there will be reprisals. And we honored that commitment. But that does not mean we dropped them right into our U.S. nation. And we were told by the Biden administration, oh, no, they're being properly vetted somewhere else before they're brought to the U.S. They were not. There was no way you could properly vet other than say they did work with, in this case, our CIA for X number of years. Did not mean that they went with American values. Now we're being told, oh, he was properly vetted and he was all loyal to the U.S. He got radicalized once he got here. I call that a damn lie. A damn lie. And we brought him here. I do want to take a moment to say I hope you had a great Thanksgiving despite all of this with you and your family. And you counted your blessings. And reminding you, there are many out there who still need help during this Thanksgiving, Christmas holiday. They will not really have any food to put on the table. So that is why we have teamed up with some of our sponsors, Bartolino's, as well as the St. Louis Republicans, as well as Chris's Pancake House locations, and also Michael's. They have drop boxes where you can go and put canned goods, non-perishable. We then will distribute them to families in need. The need continues. Well, here we are, December 1, 2025. This is our number one of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. Everything later goes up as a podcast at News Talk STL or LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And reminding you, even if you're away from the radio, you have a phone, put our app on your phone, download it. It is free. News Talk STL. Put it on your phone, open it up whenever you want, and you can hear the program from wherever you are in the nation, the world. And whatever program we have on, that's what you'll hear. Like right now, Larry Connors USA. We always are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. In our next hour, question about how small businesses are doing. Some of the early numbers coming in about the sales and so forth going into the holidays look good, but does that really mean small business is benefiting? We'll be discussing that. Later this hour, the National Colonel Guard. We have a National Colonel Guard standing by to talk about the threat to the National Guard troops in our cities as they're simply doing the job they were assigned to do. And our story behind the story, a new feature we've started for the 6 o'clock hour. Our focus will be Jack Ruby. Many of you might be questioning, who is Jack Ruby? I'd understand if you had no history knowledge and it happened before you were born, but Jack Ruby was a man caught on live TV executing Lee Harvey Oswald, who'd been accused of killing President Kennedy. That's coming up later in our story behind the story. Now back to the issue of our troops in our cities. Many have thought, well, if this has happened, if our troops are going to be attacked directly, even to the threat of death, maybe we'll consider not putting them on the streets. No, no, no. That is not the way this White House plays Pam Bondi.
Director Patel has already arrested 500 suspected terrorists since January 20th. We're working hand in hand with Pete Hegseth. And yes, we are bringing in our National Guard to every city we possibly can. Who needs our help? And that's a lot of them. We're tied up, as you know, in a lot of court hearings right now. These young men and women in the Guard, they want to help our country. They want to be here. They are patriots. Yet they will not be attacked by a radical Islamic terrorist who screams by reports, Ali Akbar, before shooting two of our Guard members and almost killing more.
Certainly could have killed more. You know, the gunman was taken down by a guardsman who did not have a weapon, had a knife, and went after him with a knife until other guardsmen could get involved. I remember when we first reported the guardsmen will be carrying weapons and authorized to use them. Everybody said, oh, my God, they'll be shooting and killing everybody. That did not happen. And back to this issue of vetting. This has been in my gut since a day one when Biden said, we're going to bring all of them to the U.S. we can. And I understand those that worked with us deserve that. They deserve protection to get away from the Taliban. But just because they worked with us does not mean they were loyal to the U.S. Again, I ask, how many of them were embedded by the Taliban inside our CIA, our other forces? You only know that if you do proper vetting. Homeland Security Secretary Noem.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under a law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House and since I've been at DHS. We're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing and making sure that we have a government when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? So that is one of the prerogatives and the one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
Good. We're going to put that as a head priority again. And keep in mind what we're hearing from the left right now, what the left is saying. No. Keep in mind, Biden might have let them in, but Trump allowed them to stay in. Trump is the one who's failed with the vetting. Trump had nothing to do with the vetting to get them in the country. And to continue to stay in the country, they are supposed to be reporting to courts as scheduled. But that's not happening either. But we're trying to get to them, and that means many more will be deported. Again, let's say the guy was absolutely 100% American when he came here. Secretary Noem says, we think once he got here, then he for sure turned.
We believe he was radicalized since he's been here in this country. We do believe it was through connections in his home community and state, and we're going to continue to talk to those who interacted with him, who were his family members, talk to them. So far, we've had some participation. We will never allow this to continue to happen in our country. Allow individuals who came to our country that were unvetted by Joe Biden, allowed to run free and loose. We are going to bring them to justice and make sure that they're returned out of this country if they aren't here for the purposes of being an American.
Perfect. Today, President Trump holding a meeting at the White House dealing with what to do next with Venezuela. Now, there's been a question. Was an order given earlier on the attacks against Venezuelan boats, was an order given a second time to hit the same boat knowing that there were survivors on board? This is a very delicate question to be asked in the fog of an action or, quote, war, if you want to call it. And I would say it is war against a narco-terrorist. But Arizona Senator Mark Kelly, who served in our Navy, and we're honored to have him do that, but now he stands there and he got asked that question over the weekend.
You mentioned that you are a captain in the Navy. If you received that order, would you have carried it out?
No. No, and I'm a guy who I have sunk two ships. You know, I've sunk an OSA-2 missile patrol boat in Kuwait Harbor, a Palnacki troop carrier in the Persian Gulf during the first Gulf War. I never, in that situation, questioned whether those strikes were legal. Now, I've had questions about the operation in general, and I've been saying this for weeks, putting service members kind of like, are you stepping over a line here? Is this legal? They have tied themselves in knots trying to explain to us on the Armed Services Committee how this is legal. Not sharing, you know, all of the information either, which is really troubling. But, you know, going after survivors in the water, that is clearly not lawful.
Now, if they were actually survivors in the water, and we continue to rake them with machine gun fire, I would also raise a question about it. But to Senator Kelly, when you carried out your final attacks against those boats you attacked, did you know if there were survivors on board? Of course you didn't. You continued to blast them until you got them evaporated. And I think that's what was happening. But the leftists are trying to make this a political gambit instead of looking at defending our nation. And one of the six Democrats pushing the military not to follow Trump's orders included him and others as well. But I want to point out to you, Maryland Senator, or rather Michigan Senator Alessa Slotkin, launched an effort trying to encourage those in our military not to follow the orders. And yet later, she admitted Trump did not give an illegal order.
Well, I think the most important thing you pointed out there is that she admitted that President Trump has never, or Secretary Hegseth, or anyone from his administration has ever given out an illegal order. Not one single Democrat can say or name a single illegal order. What they were trying to do is undermine the commander-in-chief, which is why Mark Kelly is being investigated and should be investigated for it, because you're deliberately sowing doubt and you're deliberately trying to undermine the commander-in-chief.
And that is Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican. He said there, even Slotkin admitted he had not given an illegal order. Not one of them can come forward and say this was an illegal order. And when you're in the command of the commander-in-chief and you're under him and you're given an order, you follow it out. I will guarantee you, despite what Senator Mark Kelly now says, if he was given the order, continue to strike and hit that bolt until we see nothing of it, he would have done so. Could there have been some still alive on the board that could have been rescued? Possibly. But I would not fault him for carrying out his order. But now he wants to take the position and say it should not have happened. Why? Because Trump being the commander-in-chief. It's a political game, not a real game. Coming up, I've got a National Guard colonel standing by. I want to talk more about the troops on our U.S. streets, the push to get them off the streets, especially after one was shot and killed and another one injured, or maybe to put more troops on the street, trying to get rid of the illegals. Plus the story behind the story of Jack Ruby, the man who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, live on TV. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm racing.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We continue to honor and remember our young National Guard soldier, Sarah Beckstrom, who was shot to death while on the streets of D.C., just a few blocks from the White House, while she and other troops were doing what they were assigned to do. There was no fracas involved. There was not even an issue at that point of trying to arrest or deport. But an Afghan national who we brought into this country pulled out a revolver and started opening fire. Why? First, because he was here and he shouldn't have been. But then we've got bigger issues beyond that. Joining us now is Colonel Josh McConkie, Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer from West Virginia Joint Task Force in the Capitol. Welcome aboard, Colonel.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on today.
Well, let's begin. Your first response when you heard that this had gone down?
Well, your heart just pours out. It was literally the night before Thanksgiving when families are just getting ready to celebrate being together and what they're thankful for. These two individuals, Andrew and Sarah, they volunteered to take the slot for other members that had family back home and children. They had literally checked in less than 24 hours before. And when I heard that, it just ripped your heart out.
Yeah, and to that extent, I read a quote from Sarah's father earlier where he said, "My baby girl has basically gone to heaven." And the fact that you add again, she had volunteered to be on the line that day because she did not have immediate family and children with her.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, people have been making sacrifices for this country for well over 250 years. And, you know, each of them are heroes. It was a complete ambush. It was a cowardly act. The president has already called that an act of terrorism. You know, this was an individual that drove all the way from Bellingham, Washington. That's an incredibly far drive with a motive and ill intent, you know, had been, you know, converted to some radical Islamic ideology while he was here in the United States from the report so far. And man, it's very frustrating, and I'm angry just like everyone else.
Well, Colonel McConkie, how do you keep that anger from escalating to where the troops start taking actions that they shouldn't?
Well, you know, that's the briefings. And, you know, when they volunteered for these, when you put yourself out there in public in uniform, there is a risk. And we all understand that. We brief that. We talk about that. You know, as a commander, when I was at Andrews Air Force Base, you know, I counsel my members against wearing that uniform in public. You know, drive on to base, change back into the uniform.
Wait, one second. The very fact that you had to have that kind of discussion, I find extremely disturbing in our nation.
Well, it's incredibly disturbing. But to wear that uniform in public, it makes you a target. And so, you know, everyone is briefed on that and aware of those risks.
And the same applies to our first responders, especially police and other law enforcement.
Oh, you know, I've been an emergency physician for 23 years, and I've got family in Coeur d'Alene. So they were the first responders and firefighters earlier this summer where, you know, an individual had started a fire intentionally and then fired on firefighters right. and emergency personnel as they were arriving onto the scene. It's just mind-boggling. It's crazy.
So what do you tell the other troops that were standing there nearby and witnessed it go down? And are you surprised the fact that they did not open fire immediately themselves?
Well, so the ambush, it was point blank range, and you know, Andrew and Sarah really had no chance to even respond. That threat was neutralized very quickly. So the other security detail that was with them fired rather quickly, preventing, you know, further injuries and loss of life. So, you know, it was reacted very quickly, but you know, they had no chance.
The other issue being, why was he in this country?
No, the failure to vet over 80,000 Afghans that came in right around that collapse in 2021, and then you couple that with over 10 million illegal immigrants that had come across a completely unsecured southern border. These are security risks. This is clearly a national security issue. At some point, I hope they have that ability to ask the Biden administration officials why and what they were thinking. But personally, I think it was an egregious error, and we're seeing the repercussions of that now.
Well, they've already moved past Biden. They say it's all on Trump's fault, that Trump administration been responsible for the vetting since he's been in office. He had nothing to do with those brought in during the Biden administration.
No, and you saw the immediate change in policy. I mean, in literally less than 48 hours and in less than a month, the porous southern border is now completely secure. So that's clearly a matter of policy. That's clearly a failure of the Biden administration. No one can argue that.
And I also had agreed that those members of the Afghanis who had helped our troops during the time we were in country, we had told them, we'll give you special permission to get out of the country. We'll help you get out of the country because we know if we leave, the Taliban will take you and your family and execute you. And I was for that. But of course, the issue then is we don't know how many got on the planes that were never properly vetted. We don't know how many were vetted before they were brought into this country, if they were vetted at all. And how did you vet them?
So if you look at the aircraft, like the most famous video,
yes,
of like one of those last aircraft that's leaving and just people surrounding it, if you look at the markings on that, it's the 62nd Air Wing and the 446. That's out of Joint Base Lewis-McChord. I served there, and I do know some of the pilots that were involved with that. They had no idea who was on those planes. There was no vetting. You know, I very much agreed with getting the people properly vetted and into the country that aided, you know, the U.S. military. Of this individual actually had, you know, with the CIA. But the gross fact is that there were so many people on those planes, they had no idea who was there. They weren't properly vetted before getting onto the plane and on the manifest. There were just crowds of people jumped on a plane and dropped off in the U.S.
That's the point there. They claim that, well, they were taken to a third country and vetted before they came here. That is not true in many cases.
Well, you know, it is true in some cases. You know, obviously I can't verify every single flight that came out of there, but, you know, many of them were. But 80,000 people on top of 10 million, this is what happens when you don't do your job and secure this country.
You're listening to Colonel McConkey. I apologize, Colonel. He is the current emergency preparedness liaison officer for the West Virginia Joint Task Force. Colonel, another issue about the vetting. We're told that this guy worked with the CIA, so he obviously was one of those supposedly supporting our troops when we were there. And I was in favor of making sure we got those people out. But we don't know, simply because he was with them, had he been embedded by the Taliban, and was he always anti-American? They're claiming now he got radicalized once he came to America. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, you know, as far as any speculations on that, you know, with the ongoing investigation, it really appears that the radicalization happened while he was here in the United States. I mean, contacting people back in Afghanistan, I'm sure they found out that he had made it back to the U.S. And, you know, we can't speculate what happened from there, but you can see the end result is he murdered, you know, two American soldiers in cold blood. So, obviously, something's wrong there. There are clearly some mental health issues from some reports, but this is just very dangerous when you have these types of individuals improperly vetted in your country.
So what does it say about the others we have in the country, and how do we handle them and deal with them, and the fear factor? And I should say that the trigger factor comes in for our group, our troops on the ground right now trying to carry out their duty.
You know, I mean, it's you don't want to make that overbroad generalization. There are just wonderful individuals that just made life and death decisions that helped American service members in Afghanistan, them and their families. They've done very well and integrated. Unfortunately, there is just a certain percentage that clearly have not, and a very large percentage that just weren't properly vetted at all. And the only thing you can do now is try to correct those mistakes. So go back and redo the vetting. I know it's a lot of paperwork. It's probably a monster hassle, but this is a national security issue, and I'm very glad to see the Trump administration taking responsibility in doing that.
Colonel McConkey, before we let you go, the most recent issue, of course, is that, as some members of the left in particular said, Trump has issued an illegal order and that U.S. troops have the right to refuse to take the order he gives them, such as knocking out Venezuelan boats and other activities.
You know, I felt personally, when I watched those videos as a member of the military, I'm a reservist, but I know those sitting congressmen and U.S. senators, I have never seen anything like that in my 23 years of service. To my knowledge, it's never been done before in the history of the nation. I felt it was incredibly inappropriate. It was very unprofessional, and they're just trying to stoke sedition. We'll see what the Trump administration it's the craziest thing I've seen, and I was very surprised.
Colonel Josh McConkey, Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer with the Joint Task Region out of National Capital. Thank you again for your time and your expertise, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Yeah, it's they use the word sedition, and I have thrown that around as well. When you're telling other officers or other members of the, you don't really need to follow what the commander-in-chief says. If you've been in the military, you better reconsider that anyway. Those not in the military, they think, yeah, we can ignore it. Coming up, the story behind the story. Jack Ruby.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years, Ed Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor. I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. the offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door. Get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Being let out by Captain French. There is the
president. There is Leon Duvall.
He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's a man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot. Pandemonium has broken loose here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Whether the bullet literally hit Oswald or not, we are not absolutely positive. But there has been a gunshot. Oswald reached for his stomach, doubled up. It'll be impossible to determine whether he was hit or not. Did you see whether or not he was hit? He was hit, wasn't he?
He grabbed himself on the side and fell to the ground.
Right on the side.
That was my understanding. We were, what, 4 feet away from him?
I was 5 feet in front of him.
That was a live broadcast on that date for an assassination on TV, the first ever. That was Tom Pettit for NBC News reporting in that particular case. We had all these reporters and photographers gathered in the Dallas Police Headquarters where Lee Harvey Oswald was being escorted to be transferred. At that point, security was not that tight to the extent that police were letting in many they did not really recognize or know, but some suggested that that guy's okay, let him in. And one of those guys being Jack Leon Ruby, born Jacob Leon Rubenstein. He was an American nightclub owner, and he is the one who stepped forward to shoot and mortally wound Oswald in Dallas Police Headquarters. And again, it happened on live TV. And something like that has never happened before and has not happened since. Now, the Warren Commission, that was part of their issue. What role did Jack Ruby play in connection with Lee Harvey Oswald in the assassination of JFK? In 1964, the Warren Commission concluded there was no evidence that Ruby was part of a conspiracy. But again, Oswald being killed before he could stand trial, that left a lot of lingering questions. Jack Ruby was convicted for the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald, murder with malice, given the death sentence, got overturned on appeal, and then he died before a retrial, so a lot of the information never got out. Who was Jack Ruby? Well, he was Polish-born among the Orthodox Jews residing in an area of Chicago, Illinois. Fifth of his parents' 10 surviving children. During his childhood, his parents often say they behaved violently towards each other and frequently separated, so they're not sure how much that contributed to his mental state at any point. His mother, by the way, had eventually been committed to a mental hospital. He had a lot of time in foster homes, juvenile delinquent, arrested at the age of 11 for truancy. And from his early childhood, he was known by nickname Sparky, those who knew him. They thought he resembled a slow-moving horse named Sparkplug, or Sparky in a contemporary comic strip at the time, Barney Google. Others say he got the account of name by Sparky because he had a quick temper. Jack Ruby left school at the age of 16. He was making money through ticket scalping, selling horse track tip sheets, or an organizer for local scrap iron and junk handlers union. He did get investigated after the union president was murdered in 1939, but he got cleared of any involvement in that. Now, you might not be aware, but in 1943, Jack Ruby was drafted and served in the U.S. Army Air Forces. Got an honorable discharge, then returned to Chicago. That was 46. In 1947, Jack Ruby, because of some deals that did not work out in Chicago, decided to move to Dallas to help operate his sister's nightclub. Later, he and his brothers shortened their nickname, their surnames, from Rubenstein to just Ruby. He went on to manage numerous management of nightclubs, strip clubs, dance halls in Dallas. And there is where he developed close ties to many Dallas police officers who were often in his nightclubs, where he was supposedly giving them free liquor, prostitutes, other favors. So for many of them, when Jack Ruby showed up in the basement that day, as Lee Harvey Oswald was being transferred, many of them recognized him. They did not see him as a threat. They knew him as, hey, look, there's Jack. No one really pointed him out or made a big deal at that point, and they let him get closer and closer to the point where he's standing right in front of Lee Harvey Oswald when he opens fire. Ruby was having a lot of economic problems at the time, trying to borrow money. Also had issues with the IRS. Some have said he was already involved in illegal activity, gambling, narcotics, prostitution. If so, that had nothing to do with exactly what happened that day in the basement of the Dallas Police Department. There were many that were questioned and interviewed by law enforcement and the Warren Commission that Ruby was always trying to attract attention to himself and to his club. Well, as a promoter, as a owner of a strip club or whatever you have, you wanted to make yourself known and you wanted more to frequent your business. And again, he had a lot of police officers who were, quote, friends, in the sense that they made sure they went there for free drinks and other special favors. Jack Ruby took care of him. There were numerous reports that he had violence against employees who had upset him. He was the bouncer of one of his clubs, and there are reports that he beat customers at least 25 different times, once throwing a victim down the stairs. He did have a fight with one man who bit Jack Ruby's left index finger so badly the doctors had to amputate it. There were a lot of reports, and it's backed up by numerous pieces of information about Jack Ruby being eccentric, unstable, taking his shirt or other clothing off in social gatherings, hitting his chest like a gorilla, rolling around the floor, suddenly changing a topic mid-sentence. But again, many, while they might consider him totally unpredictable, maybe a psycho, they wanted to be friends with him. During the 70s, a prominent psychiatrist known for her use of art therapy and diagnosing and treating patients, analyzed artwork Ruby had created while in jail. And according to her, the work conveyed, quote, repressed aggression and secretiveness. In other words, he did not ever really want anyone to know who the real Jack Ruby was. And many didn't. When it came to his personal life, he never married. He had no children. He was living with a man by the name of George Senator, who during the Warren Commission hearing described Ruby as, quote, my boyfriend, although later he denied they were homosexual lovers. And the Warren Commission attorney later told an author, he said, we're not sure if George Senator was honest about his relationship with Ruby. People did not advertise their homosexuality in 1963. And the question has always been, why did Jack Ruby decide that he wanted to take out Lee Harvey Oswald? And therein lies the conspiracy. He was seen in the halls of Dallas Police Headquarters several occasions after Oswald's arrest. He had a .38 Colt Cobra revolver in his pocket during one of the news conferences, he admitted later. Newsreel footage from WFAA and TV in Dallas, I should say, and NBC, shows that Ruby impersonated a newspaper reporter during a press conference being held by the district attorney. Wade Breith, the district attorney, briefed reporters and Oswald, saying that he was a, not Oswald, but Ruby, that he was a member of the Anti-Castro Free Cuba Committee. And Ruby was one of those who spoke up to correct the prosecutor, saying, that's the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. So then we came to November 24, 11:20 that morning, Oswald being escorted by Dallas police. And more of the story behind the story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. Not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
20 minutes ago, standing right here, Lee Oswald was shot by a man known to at least one Dallas police officer, P.T. Dean. The man apparently, according to the accounts of other detectives who were here, came out of a green vehicle parked beyond our camera range in the police garage here at Dallas Police Headquarters, leaped over a railing through the reporters who had been cordoned off on that side. And again, according to people who were closer than I, the man came through the group of reporters to Oswald, who was being transported just about in this position. And just at that moment, the gunshot was fired.
And it sounded as if an automobile had backfired, or someone had thrown a cherry bomb or a firecracker or something of that sort. Oswald clasped his stomach like this and moaned. And then, of course, there was absolute pandemonium as detectives and police officers moved in to take into custody this man, so far unidentified.
But later identified as Jack Ruby. And many of those around the event knew who it was. Ruby stepped forward and fired a single shot, point blank, mortally wounding Oswald. One of the lieutenants guarding him, escorting him, stated, "Jack, you son of a..." You can figure out the rest of it. Immediately, that detective grabbed for Ruby's gun. Another officer grabbed his shoulder. They pushed Ruby's leg, and he was immediately subdued by police as he went down. Handcuffed, taken to the elevator. Oswald went to an ambulance driven to Parkland Memorial Hospital, the same hospital where President Kennedy had died 2 days earlier. At Parkland, a surgeon determined that the bullet was mortal. There was a network television pool camera covering the transfer that morning. As I said, it was being broadcast live. A number of Dallas police officers were meeting with the Assistant District Attorney Ben Ellis in days before that. Ruby entered, passing out a business card advertising a performance by a stripper he had coming in town. Ruby introduced himself to the Assistant District Attorney, said, "You probably don't know me now, but you will." The story behind the story of Jack Ruby. Tomorrow, the story behind the story is of this time of year. I went, quote, undercover, homeless on the streets. Many of you might remember that story. We will have that for you tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885, EsquireSportsMedicine.com, EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details, plus gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for a Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Larry Connors here. Is your home ready for the chilly months ahead? Renewal by Anderson has a buy one, get one 50% off window event. And if you qualify, 18 months, no payments, zero interest. Not sure if it's the right time? Renewal makes it easy. No obligation, window inspection. Just find out what new windows might cost when you're ready. No pressure. No hassle. And remember, no one but Renewal by Anderson can offer Fibrex, the proprietary window frame material, 200% stronger than vinyl. Means durability, efficiency, beauty that lasts every season. What are you waiting for? Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com and get your consultation. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.